This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsNap Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, good Tuesday morning to you. Thanks for joining us. It is SportsNap Radio. We are going to get into the NBA playoffs last night. One team with a star playing well lost. Another team without its star also lost. We'll get into the Dallas Mavericks and the Philadelphia 76ers who lost yesterday, and the fact the Miami Heat and the Phoenix Suns won. We'll get to those games and look ahead tonight to two other games in the NBA playoffs, including Golden State and Memphis. But the NFL has two big stories coming out today. Yesterday, Arizona Cardinals wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins was suspended 6 games for violating the league's performance-enhancing drug policy. Naturally, he said, I have no idea how this happened. Standard sort of answer these athletes give whenever they get caught. And also that the NFL came out and said it had done a thorough investigation into the accusations made by Hugh Jackson of the Cleveland Browns that the Browns on the 4-year plan were actively trying to lose games. They found no evidence of that, despite the fact that they won 1 game during a 2-year period. Now, again, this came on the heels of Brian Flores making those same exact accusations against the Miami Dolphins and owner Stephen Ross. And it's interesting because the NFL was quick to point out that they used an independent investigation into this, and they had gone through thousands and thousands of pages of documents and emails and all sorts of stuff to sort of conclude that in the end, the Browns did no wrong. Now, I'm not always skeptical and always cynical. I don't believe a conspiracy around every single corner. But it is interesting when you think about that what the ramifications of both of these stories could mean to the league. If you had team owners that were actively trying to lose games on purpose, we talked about it with Stephen Ross especially. It's a get your team out of your hold type of offense. I mean, it would mean the league would step in and take the team away from you if you did damage the league that way. But I don't find it surprising at all that the NFL came out and said nothing to see here, given what damage actually could occur if they did say there was something to see here. But then again, they may actually, if there was information, might want to come clean and show that they would clean up their house immediately if an accusation like this turned out to be true. All right, we're going to get to both of these stories coming up. And again, the NBA playoffs with 2 games in the books from last night, both game ones, with Phoenix winning and also Miami winning, both teams winning at home. We'll talk all about that as we get Tuesday show rolling.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsNap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Good morning to you. All right, so again, two stories out of the NFL. DeAndre Hopkins suspended 6 games of the 2022 season for testing positive for a performance-enhancing drug. He doesn't have no idea how he got that, but that's an excuse that is almost pre-written by every PR firm that has an athlete that is like a standard. Here's what we're going to say if you get caught using PEDs. You have no idea how it happened. You're disappointed. You're going to get to the bottom of this. You always take care of yourself. You always take a note of what you put, gets put into your body. He said all of the talking points. I mean, that's basically every athlete that gets caught like this. For once, it would be refreshing if an athlete went, yep, I tried to sneak it. I couldn't sneak it. I got caught. I did everything I possibly could. The Wizinator. I did everything I could. I did every sort of masking agent you could find. I got caught. I'll take the penalty. Thanks. I'll see you in 6 games. Now, they'll never do that. It's PR suicide if they do that. They'd rather trot out the same old tired line of, I don't know what it is, salad dressing. I have no clue.
Which never works.
Never works. No one ever believes it. No one ever believes it. Look, they're not, again, we've heard everything. I mean, everything in the last 15 years on PEDs, maybe 20 on different excuses. Oh, it's in the laundry detergent. Oh, it's in the, you know, it's in this fruit, or there's a chemical reaction in this this other legal supplement that I get to. I mean, everything under the sun has been thrown, and every single time they appeal it, the league, whatever league it is, goes, no, sorry, We're not going down that road. Too bad. You're out for whatever time it is.
And then the other tired argument that always comes up is like, you know, you're a professional athlete. Your job is to know what goes into your body.
Yeah, exactly. So again, they went the, you know, his PR team did the same, you know, did the standard line, but the reality of it is that the Cardinals right now do not have him. Now he missed seven games last season, and Cliff Kingsbury even admitted at the combine, look, we didn't really adapt very well without DeAndre Hopkins, but this year is a little different. They got Marquise Brown, they got Hollywood Brown in a trade with Baltimore. Now, there was a cool idea, right, that these two would be a real good 1-2 punch for Kyler Murray. But we're going to have to wait to week seven to figure that one out, if that's indeed how this is going to go down. Look, Marquise Brown changes the equation a little bit, because when DeAndre Hopkins doesn't play for the Arizona Cardinals, they lose. They lost, they lose. They were 8-2 when he played. They were 1-4 when they lost, when he was out. So when Kyler Murray plays without DeAndre Hopkins, they don't win games, and they struggle. But with Marquise Brown, a former teammate of Kyler Murray, maybe there's just enough there to keep whatever, you know, whatever sort of semblance of something together that they could put together. I mean, sometimes you learn from your mistakes, and Arizona and Cliff Kingsbury may have learned from their mistake of how do we conduct the offense without DeAndre Hopkins. So now, don't get me wrong, they have an idea of what they want to do offensively with both of these guys when they're on the field. But if DeAndre Hopkins is out, Cliff Kingsbury is now going to have to create an offense where Marquise Brown is going to be the guy, and Kyler Murray is going to be trying to win games without DeAndre Hopkins using Hollywood Brown. Well, you know, we'll see how that goes down. But let's go back to the PED suspension, okay? Look, I hate to say this because I don't want to sound like every one of these tests is on the up and up and every one of these suspensions is legit. I'm sure there are plenty of times where there's been a test that has been off a bit, maybe doesn't warrant the same kind of suspension. I get it. But I will tell you, it doesn't matter what league it is, baseball, basketball, you know, football, whatever. Whenever they test for this stuff, whenever they come out and announce a suspension, they know it's going to be appealed. They know it's going to get some sort of fan backlash, because there'll be people that believe the athlete because they're fans of the athlete. They're fans of the team. So you better make sure you dot all your I's and cross your T's every single time one of these comes through, right? Like, whenever there's been times where they're like, no, that is the laundry detergent one was my favorite. I really forget which athlete used that one. But they were like, no, it's in like the laundry detergent, and that's what got into my system. And they're like, no, it isn't. Like, we're not suspending you 10 games because of laundry detergent. We've got professionals here that can test this stuff, and they know the difference. This is something you should not have taken. And for athletes, it's again, you have to know exactly what's going into your system. I mean, again, if you know what is going to cause you a 6-game suspension, I would know everything that would cause me a 6-game suspension, and sort of the ire of people around this, you know, around the league or around the fan base. But I know how serious performance enhancing drugs are. I get it. We do not want the youth of this country to start taking this stuff feeling like there is only one way to compete at the highest level, right? Going unchecked, you'll have high school kids feeling like they need to find a way to get this into their system if they want to play in the NFL or Major League Baseball or whatnot. But let's be honest as a sports society. I'm not saying this is right or wrong. I'm not making a judgment here. I'm just stating a statement of fact. If there was one sport in this country where the fan base doesn't get outraged with PEDs, it's the NFL. That has been this way for a long time. The league will suspend you. The league will go down through its protocol, but it does not draw even the closest bit of anger and scrutiny as Major League Baseball. There's something about Major League Baseball where it is so sacred to the people that love the sport that if you're a McGuire or a Sosa or a Bonds or whoever, Clemens, and you tangle up with PEDs, it's like an insult to everybody that's ever played baseball in the history of the sport. right? How could they do this? How could they skew the numbers like this? So sacred. But the National Football League, we just don't seem to care. I mean, don't get me wrong, Arizona's got a real problem. They're losing a key wide receiver, and they've shown in the past that when he doesn't play, they can't win. And maybe this year will be different. Maybe they'll find a way to win some of those first six games without him so that when he comes back, he'll be good to go teaming up with Hollywood Brown. But do you think that there is an outrage around the fan base that this was found out? No. I just don't think there is.
No, in fact, I mean, once you heard it, didn't you go, yeah. All right, six games.
It's just another player that's gotten caught with this.
Now, what I'm curious about is if the Cardinals knew that this was coming and pulled the trigger on the trade for that reason.
Very good question, because it was a test from the fall. So, very, very good question. In all likelihood, they did. Because I can't imagine this came as a surprise to them today, or yesterday, I should say, on the 2nd of May when the draft wrapped up. You know, well, at least the first round wrapped up like 4 days before. 4 or 5 days before. I think they were given a heads up. I think the NFL, this speculation on my part, I think the NFL ran the test the first time, and I think they notified the Cardinals that there was a problem. And then they said, we're going to run it a couple more times, but we're letting you know that there may be a problem. And I think the Cardinals went with the bet that there would be a problem. And said, all right, fine. Because you remember last season how good Arizona was at the very beginning of the year?
Yeah.
7-0, right? Just remarkable.
Running through everybody,
right? I mean, just great. And then they stumbled down the stretch. They really stumbled down the stretch. So much so that their loss to the LA Rams was one of the worst performance losses in recent playoff history. It was just an abysmal football game. Abysmal. Kyler Murray looked like he didn't want to be there. I'm not saying that from a competitive, like he looked lost. Like he looked like he just wanted out of there. Like the Rams were so good, he didn't want any part of this. Not that he was like protesting the game. I don't want to get misconstrued here. Like he was confused and not as prepared as he probably should be. But a lot of it had to do with the fact that DeAndre Hopkins was out injured. So this is a big story from the standpoint of how the Cardinals, a very good football team for most of the season, up until about a little past midway point of the season, and then kind of fell apart, are losing one of their key offensive players, one of the key players that makes Kyler Murray a very good quarterback. But as far as outrage, I don't think you're going to find very many people outraged. It just doesn't seem to fit. I think we would be more outraged if a PGA golfer was caught with performance enhancing drugs than an NFL player. We tend to not really care about that. Good or bad. I'm not making a judgment, not saying we're right as a society. I'm just telling you that's kind of the way it is. All right, coming up next, the second story that was running through the NFL yesterday, and that Hugh Jackson's accusations that the Browns were purposely trying to lose games, similar to what Brian Flores was accusing the Miami Dolphins of doing. Came back with an investigation, and the league said, didn't happen. We'll talk about that coming up next at Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, if you'd like to hit us up on Twitter, you can at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. If you have any comments on what we're saying, including the DeAndre Hopkins six-game suspension. We'll get to the Cleveland Browns story coming up in just a minute. But first, the Steel Battery product line features three tiers of performance so you can find the right family of products for your needs. So if you're a landscaping professional or just a homeowner, an occasional use, just doing up the lawn on the weekend, Steel Battery tools have the power to get the job done on a single charge and to do it as well as a gas-powered product. Zero exhaust emissions, no fuel costs, low maintenance, lightweight, quiet benefits of using battery-powered tools. So why Steel? When it comes to battery-powered equipment, Steel is at the forefront of innovation. From lightweight construction and quiet operation to low maintenance and zero emissions. Steel maximizes the benefits of battery-powered tools while delivering powerful performance. And whether you're a pro, or again, or just a home user with a weekend job, you won't find Steel at Lowe's or Home Depot, but always at a local Steel dealer. All right, so let's get to this Cleveland Browns story. And this is rather, I think this is more interesting in a way. I think that DeAndre Hopkins is more impactful, of course. But I thought this was interesting, this story, because the NFL did an investigation. A thorough investigation, mind you. They remind you, a thorough investigation into the claims that former head coach Hugh Jackson said that they lost games on purpose in 2016 and 2017, or that he was incentivized to lose games, much like Brian Flores was with the Miami Dolphins. Now, remember, this accusation came after Brian Flores let the cat out of the bag and said, hey, by the way, while I was in Miami, Stephen Ross was going to pay me extra money to lose games on purpose so we get a higher draft pick. And then Hugh Jackson was like, by the way, that happened to me too when I was in Cleveland. You know, after I went 3-36-1 in 2+ years, don't you think that's because I'm a terrible coach? Think of it as a way of Jimmy Haslam saying, hey, it would be nice if you lost some games. So I kind of obliged. So again, Jackson sort of insinuated this. And so the NFL did an investigation. Because as we said with the Brian Flores situation, this is the bad, bad thing for the league. The league can survive a lot of things, right? It can survive its players doing some dastardly deeds. But it cannot ruin the public trust. You cannot have a business of professional sports in the guise of, you know, in the partnership with gambling, in the partnership with sponsors, in the partnership with the league in general, with other teams, if one team is manipulating the outcome of that for two reasons. One, right, you break the public trust, right? Everybody who buys a ticket to your game is expecting a square deal. Two, it doesn't just affect you, right? It's not like, well, if they want to lose games, let them lose games. It's their strategy. No, you ruin it by allowing teams to win. So every game you're purposely losing is a game you are guaranteeing a win for an opponent. Now that game may not go, if everybody played hard, that game may not go the other team's way. They may lose. They may commit 5 turnovers and lose. And that ruins the chances, the playoff chances of other teams competing with that particular team for playoff spots. You're hurting the field, right? So the league, there should be zero tolerance for this if that went down. I don't care who you are. I don't care how entrenched you are as an owner. If the league has evidence that you are and asked for and got manipulated games to go in your favor on the cause of tanking, then you should be taken out of the league. You have to be removed from the league. You've lost the trust. So the NFL did its investigation, and wow, surprisingly, they have no evidence that this took place whatsoever. Now, as I said at the top of the hour, I'm not a big conspiracy guy. I really try to chill out on that kind of stuff because I've been around a long time. I've seen things that are worthy of sort of a conspiratorial talk, and then I roll my eyes at everyone who thinks everything is being manipulated by a higher source. I don't think that this investigation, though, is one that if the NFL had a ton of evidence, would it truly have come out yesterday and said, oh, by the way, yeah, we found it. And in 2+ years of Hugh Jackson at the helm, we found multiple times where the Browns lost purposely. And therefore, we had to take some action. It would be really dangerous. Think of what it would open itself up to. Think about what the league would open itself up to if it ever admitted that. So while I'm not conspiratorial in any nature, in a lot of ways, don't get me wrong, I've got a few. But I do understand that if you're the league, if you're the NFL, this is something you can never admit, even if it happened. I hate to say this because I'd love for the league to say this actually took place. But they can never admit this. If they honestly admit this, it would be a nightmare. A nightmare. Lawsuits, everything. Sponsors would be suing, asking for money back. The television revenue could be given back as a certain percentage. Right? I mean, you wouldn't have real trust. The partnerships you have with all these sports books that you're so excited about would be called into question. It would be an absolute mess. when, let's say, you have some evidence that it happened, but it's not huge, it's almost better if you sit on that story. It's almost better if you kind of hide that away. Now, there have been people on the Browns who have said, like in podcasts and whatnot, that, yeah, they did lose some games. And we didn't lose giving it the good old college try. But the NFL come out and said, look, we went through everything. We went through all sorts of emails, documents, interviews, everything, and we found nothing. Now, I got to believe that they found something. Like, it just seems weird to me. Is Hugh Jackson lying? Is he making this up?
Remember, he's a man of his word, too, because he did jump into Lake Erie.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. That's right, he did. But, I mean, is there a reason why he would sacrifice any future head coaching gigs by going and accusing this if it just wasn't true? Like, if he's sitting on the patio at his house with either some friends or his wife or whatever, and he goes, you know, why not? I was incentivized to lose games on purpose. Like, how much damage would that do to your reputation? If that was, it's not like where there's smoke, there's fire kind of cliche here. But I don't think Hugh Jackson is lying. I don't think it may have been as widespread, and I don't think it was as blatant. Could it possibly be, hear me out here, could it possibly be that the answer is somewhere in the middle and the NFL couldn't find any evidence to go to the extreme? Like, it was hinted very strongly that they lose games? Or they put or management put the Browns and Hugh Jackson in a position where they weren't talented enough to win games? Is that possible? I mean, I don't know if Hugh Jackson is making this up or not. But if I have a choice between Hugh Jackson completely making up and fabricating a story just for the heck of it, knowing it wasn't true, knowing that everything he said was a lie, or the NFL going, yeah, there's kind of something here, but we better not say it. Which side do you think I'm going to go towards? I'm probably leaning towards the side that says the NFL kind of went, yeah, okay. It's not real deep, but let's keep this quiet or say it didn't happen. They did a 60-day review, independent investigators. Okay. So they got that going for them. But none of the allegations could be substantiated. Now, listen. Okay, listen. Is it possible Hugh Jackson said these things because he believed them to be true, even if they weren't true? Is it possible Hugh Jackson left some meetings confused as to the direction the team was going? When they presented their 4-year plan, is it possible Hugh Jackson went, I think they want me to lose games on purpose? But I'm not going to ask them. I think if I'm hearing that correctly, I think they're hinting that I lose games on. That's likely. That's a likely scenario. But I don't think Hugh Jackson is lying. And I don't think the NFL has cleared the Browns of everything. I think there was stuff where they were like, okay, before we make a ruling on this, let's make sure we have some hard evidence. And they couldn't really find any hard evidence. You know, the one thing that was baffling, remember when Brian Flores made that accusation and he said, Stephen Ross, he said, told him that he would pay him $100,000 to lose games. Wasn't there didn't he say, or wasn't it implied that was in an email? And no, they couldn't find, there was no email. Like, if you're an owner and you're trying to tell your coach to lose games, don't put it on a piece of paper. Don't put it in any email form. All right, we'll get into the NBA playoffs last night. Both Phoenix and Miami were winners. Luka Doncic had 45. Joel Embiid didn't play. Those were the two teams that lost. We'll talk about that coming up next. So continue on Sports Map Radio. Thanks for joining us.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, thanks for joining us on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Good to have you on a Tuesday. I'm a little under the weather this morning. My stomach is like in knots, and I don't know why. I had a salad last night for dinner. I don't know if it was the balsamic vinaigrette dressing I used. I have no clue. But I haven't been right since dinner.
Could just be the leafy.
Could be.
You know, mixed in there and going, oh, let's get all this other stuff out of here.
So my son is a college wise guy now. Like, he takes these classes and he's like, you know, like, Dad, let me tell you what I've learned in my. And I was talking to him last night and he was saying, like, he goes, do you know that a tablespoon of olive oil is like 130 calories? And I go, what? He goes, yeah, because I use olive oil in everything. Like, I love olive oil. And he goes, yeah, it's 130. So he goes, like, if you had two tablespoons on a salad, that's like 260 calories. And I go, wow. I go, so what is the equivalent of me slathering up my salad with ranch dressing? And he goes, you're better off eating a candy bar. And I go, really? He goes, yeah. I go,
well, okay,
he goes, how many tablespoons do you think you put on? I go, 1,000. I drown that stuff in ranch dressing. It's awful. So I went to switch to like balsamic vinaigrette last night. But he's like, yeah, it's like he goes, you're better off eating a candy bar, man. He goes, it's crazy how much calories you're pouring on that salad with that ranch dressing. I go, I always knew that, but it was something I didn't want to know. Do you know what I mean?
Can we challenge that, by the way? I don't, you know? I mean, that doesn't make any sense.
What, the ranch dressing has a lot of calories?
Well, no, it's just, you know, candy bar would be better off than a salad.
He was saying the amount of ranch, the calories, like, he's like, Reese's peanut butter cups are like 250 calories, right? And he goes, like, if olive oil, if two tablespoons of olive oil is 260, he goes, you know, a half a cup of ranch dressing is probably 1,000. And I go, yeah, good point. Because he used to always tell me, he goes, Dad, you're putting way too much salad dressing. I go, leave me alone. I'm old. So what do I want to do?
Basically, what you're saying then is instead of having that salad, have a candy bar.
Pretty much.
Before dinner.
No, right. Have salad, but not have it with a half a gallon of
ranch
dressing.
I heard you say have a Reese's peanut butter cup before having a salad with ranch dressing.
Because I said, I asked him, what is it like when I pour all that ranch dressing on my salad? And he said, you're better off having a candy bar.
I think I like my idea.
I do too. Still don't have a salad.
Just, you know, put it in the salad bowl.
So I made a nice salad last night, and I used balsamic vinaigrette dressing. Which is not very, and I haven't been right. My stomach has not been right since.
It's not liking you, know what? That's why.
Yeah, because my stomach is probably like, hey, fatso, when you send down the green stuff, you normally send it dripping with deliciousness, and you didn't do that this time, so now you must die. That's what it did.
So it's lubricating the insides what's going on.
You're going to send down this roughage, and you want us to digest this. Give us the good stuff. Give us that ranch we like. What is this balsamic vinaigrette thing? Good. Now suffer so you never do that to us again. That's probably what's going on. I don't know. So, Rosemary on Twitter has a very interesting point about Hugh Jackson. She says, if Hugh Jackson has integrity and we're to believe him, then why did he wait until now to rat on the Browns?
Yep.
That's a great point. That's a great point. And if he's saying his record was bad because of this, then he's admitting he threw games. Another good point, Rosemary. Congratulations. It's tweet of the day. Good point. I still think the answer is a little in the middle. Do you think Jimmy Haslam, though, is completely innocent? Like, he didn't want to lose games? Like, he didn't want to imply that it would be better if the team was getting higher draft picks? Like, if you're an owner of an NFL team, right? And you know that draft picks and high draft picks can lead to marquee players that you can make money off, right? Like, you do not even have to win with a rookie quarterback, but if you have a hot rookie quarterback, like a quarterback that is, you know, popular and has got tremendous upside, you will make a fortune off that young man. I would have a hard time keeping my mouth shut that what I really want is more losses on the scoreboard rather than you go 5-12. Right? Or 5-11 back in the day. Like, I would be like, it would be better if we went 2-14 than 5-11, but I can't tell you that. Right? but I can hint. But I do agree, Rosemary, that the timing is a little weird, right? So Brian Flores had the courage to bring this up, and Hugh Jackson didn't when it was going down for Hugh Jackson. Like, he waited until Brian Flores had the courage to say to the public, hey, when I was head coach of this football team, I was told by the owner to throw games on purpose. And Hugh Jackson is like, yeah, wow, that's funny, me too.
That's what it was. I couldn't put my finger on it, but now I know. Yeah.
Thank you, Brian, for having the courage to do that, because I kept my mouth shut this whole time.
Yeah, because he's been out of the league, 4 years?
Yeah. Been a while, right? Because they went through, two coaches since his firing? I think they hired the one guy for like a year before they landed on Kevin Stefanski. So, no, that makes sense. That makes sense. And, oh, by the way, I do think that we do not like excuses at all. Like, we don't, even if they're legit excuses. Like, seriously, if Tiger Woods lost the 2000 U.S. Open to Rocco Mediate and was like, well, my leg was hurting, we would be like, we don't want to hear it. And he'd be like, but it was a broken leg. Yeah, I know, but.
Suck it up, Buttercup.
Suck it up, Buttercup. Like, keep your mouth shut. We don't like hearing excuses. La, 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 la. I'm not listening to Tiger. We don't like excuses in sports. We just don't. Even when they're legit and we know that they really, really have a reasonable excuse as to why they lost. But Hugh Jackson, I think this is her second point on Twitter, that if he's saying, hey, don't look at my record without knowing that, yeah, we might have thrown some games here. Yikes. Ugh. That's pretty atrocious. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that. But man, I'm telling you, if you're the NFL though, what would you do if you're Roger Goodell? Let me put it in his hands to you, Ron, and on Twitter as well. So hit me up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. And answer this as honestly as you can. What would you do if you were Roger Goodell and you did get a report back that said what Hugh Jackson said or Brian Flores, doesn't matter, said was true?
I mean, you gotta. What would you do if one of them was true?
Right. What would you do if you're the commissioner and you were like, oh, my God, this is the last thing
we led the investigation and then we found out like, oh, my God, Brian Flores was right.
Yeah. So picture you're sitting in the commissioner's chair, the desk, and the investigation team comes in. They go, can we see you, chief?
I'm in the basement of his home.
Yeah, your basement of his home. And you go, yeah, okay. Yeah, come on in. And they sit down and go, hey, you need to sit down for this.
Well, the first thing would probably be pour myself another shot.
Yeah, exactly. Pour yourself a drink.
Go.
So then you go.
Hire DeAndre Hopkins PR team.
We totally, totally did an investigation into this Browns thing, like you asked. We went through everything, and we hate to tell you this, but it looks like he's telling the truth. Jimmy Haslam, on a number of occasions, urged him unequivocally to lose games on purpose. We have evidence. We have interviews. We have people who will testify to this. And so this is what took place.
All right. So question for you though. I mean, yeah. I get all that. You know, Miami was asked to lose. How come none of these are ever been brought up about the Jaguars?
I know. No, because the Jaguars are legitimately trying. They just suck. Right. That's the thing. Brian Flores is implying that he's such a good coach that he couldn't have possibly lost those early years,
right,
without some sort of meddling by ownership.
Meanwhile, the Jaguars, it's just a known fact they're going to have a top 10 pick.
Right, exactly. Well, I'm going to amend my statement. Brian Flores did not throw games. He did not comply with what he is alleging Stephen Ross asked him to.
And that's why he was fired.
Right, he was fired because he said, I am not going to do that. And somehow Hugh Jackson is like, I guess he did or was – he was like, don't worry about it. Oh, you want me to lose games on purpose?
Is he trying to explain away 1-31?
Yeah, that's what I mean, right? It's like if you're Jimmy Haslam, all you have to do is tell the investigators, I didn't have to tell Hugh Jackson to lose games. Like he was doing that on his own. But Brian Flores at least said, no, I will not comply with this. So the league is not looking into whether or not the Browns through games or the Dolphins through games, which might ease the burden of the commissioner if he has to come out and admit that this might be true. Because he could come out and say, while we looked into this, we do have evidence that Stephen Ross, for example, like the Brian Flores suit, we found evidence that Brian Flores was asked on a number of occasions to lose games on purpose for the cost of $100,000 per game. However, we don't have any evidence whatsoever that he did do this. There you go. That could be your answer.
Yep.
That could be the answer. So that would be the answer to my team. Like, okay, you have an investigation. Yes. Did the Browns lose games on purpose? Well, we have a little bit of evidence that they did. Do we have evidence that Jimmy Haslam asked them to do so? Yeah, we have a lot of evidence on that. Good. Let's go with that. And then let's not show the evidence that it actually took place.
I know the correlation has to be, you know, the coach was losing a lot of games, but I just find it like a convenient excuse.
Yeah, I do too.
Like for Brian Flores, I mean, you know, it's a convenient excuse of why he started 0-7, but then you turned it around and you had a great season the second half of the year.
Yeah.
For Hugh Jackson, is this a way for him to say, hey guys, I'm still a good head coach, give me an opportunity?
Yeah, give me another
chance. That wasn't my fault.
Yeah.
Cleveland, you know, they told me to lose. They were trying to lose.
Now, once you get a taste of that head coaching lifestyle, man, you don't want anything different.
Because right now, I mean, who would give Hugh Jackson a job?
Right. And I certainly would be a little wary of giving him one based on all of this.
Oh, of course, now.
Like if I'm an owner, like, do I want to hire a guy that is going to accuse me of trying to rig games because he can't win? Like, if he goes 2-15, am I going to go, oh, my God, I'm going to get run through the ringer by accusations that I wanted to lose on purpose? Yikes, I don't need that. I'm keeping this thing for generations. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's. Thank you, Rosemary. It's a very good point you made on Twitter. As we continue, it is Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, coming up next hour, we got the good, the bad, and the dumb. We will get into the NBA playoffs last night. Phoenix wins, Miami wins. Luka Doncic played for Dallas and scored 45 points. Not enough. Phoenix goes on to win. Miami last night played a Philadelphia 76ers team that didn't have Joel Embiid. They win that game, even though, I mean, look, Miami didn't play really that well, and yet, but Philadelphia didn't have Joel Embiid, and there's your answer. They got to figure out how to win a game without Joel Embiid, who might be back for game number 3. Well, we shall see. Both teams didn't shoot particularly well last night. It's kind of a sloppy game. But also, we'll get into this DeAndre Hopkins situation coming up in hour number 3. We'll also get into the NBA in hour number 2, so that's all coming up. Tonight, the Milwaukee Bucks and the Boston Celtics are playing their game 2. And as we were talking about this on Monday after Milwaukee had took game 1, I don't like the term punch in the mouth, right? Because, I mean, I think if you're the defending champs and you're as talented as Milwaukee is, you're not stealing a game, punching a team in the mouth unexpectedly. You went out and won. You won the game. You beat, even though you're a 3 seed and Boston's a 2 seed, that's not separated by that much. You went on the road and you won a game. And you won a game convincingly and you were physical and you got a great triple-double from Giannis. And you played better defense in Boston, played defense on you, and you go out and win the game. I do expect Boston to even up this series. I honestly don't expect a runaway by Milwaukee. I wouldn't say either team because I think Boston can't run away with this now. I mean, Milwaukee is going to win a game at home. But I don't think Boston is going to be down in 4 or 5 games in this series. I think they're going to even this thing up before they before they go back to Milwaukee. And the other game in the Eastern Conference, though, I see completely different. If Philadelphia struggles, if Joel Embiid struggles to get back, this thing is done. I mean, Miami could go up 3-0 in this series easily, depending on when Joel Embiid comes back. Miami did not play a good basketball game last night, but they are going to play better than what they played last night. They are going to hit their outside shots a lot better. And the Philadelphia 76ers, I wouldn't say they were in a position to win the game. They really didn't have an answer for the Joel Embiid absence, which is, you know, totally understandable. He's a kind of an MVP candidate. He's not an MVP-level player. But Miami could be up 3-0 in this series if Joel Embiid comes back, let's say, by game four. He's got a fractal orbital bone, and he's dealing with a concussion. Now, there's a good little chunk of change between games here. So he should be able to come back. But let's say, for whatever reason, he's not cleared for game three. If Philadelphia doesn't find a way to win game two, they may go down 3-0 in this series. So I do expect a real nice, drawn-out battle in the first game of the Eastern Conference between Boston and Milwaukee. But Joel Embiid is too important to be dismissed in this series against the Miami Heat. Enough that you know, the Heat could win this thing pretty easily and just wait for Milwaukee and Boston. Now, on the flip side, I expect Memphis, like in the West, I think Memphis can win at home tonight. But Golden, I think this is a fun series. I'm almost scared of Memphis losing tonight in game two, because I think when you go back to San Francisco, you know, Golden State's either going to get up 3-1 or 3-0. They're winning at home one of these two games. And Memphis and Golden State had such a good game one. I don't want this to go similar to the Boston-Brooklyn series, where it was great game one, but then game two, three, and four, one team took control. All right, good, the bad, and the dumb coming up in hour number two as we continue along on a Tuesday. Glad you could be with us on Sports Map Radio.